Around the NFL Podcast. Never slide into the DMs.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
I just want to bring up something, and I brought it up at the end of our Twitter show earlier this week, but I thought on this platform it should come up again because I think it deserves to be amplified. We were prepping the show, our previous podcast, and Greg got a text on his phone.
You going back to this?
And he looked at it, and it was his wonderful wife, Emeka, who let him know that there was a vagrant on the front stoop of their house, and Emeka was alone at home. Greg processed it and said, well, call the police. Emeka said she didn't want to go down that road.
I didn't say that. Exactly.
It's already off the rails.
And then the light bulb went off above Greg's head, because what I think you realized at that moment, Greg, was that she didn't want to call the police because she decided to throw up the bat signal. She was looking for a hero.
She's got a real man who lives in that house.
She threw up the bat signal for Greg.
But I just don't think this is the greatest example. Fred. Fred's there in the back. I don't know if this is the greatest example of me acting like that.
So
you seem to make it out to be.
When Greg realized that the bat signal was out, there was no hesitation. This was like the opposite of, remember after the horrible 9/11 terrorist attacks, George W. Bush in the classroom reading My Pet Goat, and he sat there, and he was not decisive, and he
mystified
criticism for that.
Yeah.
Not Greg. Immediately, he rose to his feet. He said, guys, I'll be back. I got to go see about a girl. I got to check in with my old lady.
And now that's just a movie line.
And he started walking out of the newsroom. And then he got a text, and the bum left.
Well, that's the thing.
So it
would have been a great story if I went back home and did what I intended, which was to ask, you know, very nicely for him to leave. But yeah, he had left.
Oh, that would have been a delicious encounter.
Did he leave evidence of his stay there?
Oh, quite a bit. Yes. That was my first task when I did arrive home, was to bring the kids around the side so they couldn't see the
awesome
tons of empty beer cans.
Seven apart.
Tons?
Like three or four. Some fruit, an open fruit thing container from Vons, some applesauce.
Just eating healthy.
Multiple women's razors, like that you would shave your legs with. And then some prepaid Visa cards that were unopened, like $2. It was a whole thing. And I had to pick, you know.
This man's an enigma.
It was troubling.
But I just want to put it out there that saw Greg walking out of the newsroom when his phone blew up again before he sat down.
So what did he do?
I mean, the cards didn't even work.
He walked out of the newsroom and
he was on his way to his car to confront this bum. Threatening his old lady.
It was a thought. I guess if it's a thought that counts, yeah.
You were on your way to
I learned something about you,
Greg.
La Ravio Magnifico.
Yeah, in the reverse. I learned that Greg was not going to rely on law enforcement or just putting his phone down and not looking at it again. He was going to go take care of business. He was going to fight for the honor of his wife.
Did she thank you? I hope that, you know, she
good
treated
question
you very well when you came home, knowing what your intention
great
was
question
going to be.
She appreciated me picking up all the stuff. But no, I think she was more still holding it against me that I moved her to Los Angeles.
Mm.
Just like a 5-year long thing.
It's quite a grudge.
Do you want to share the one text that she sent?
Yeah, she just said last straw.
Oh, no. This podcast is almost over in its current iteration. All right. Good talk. Good story. Good memories. And good husband. Big show. Friday show. Love Fridays. TGIF. I made that up. Hard Knocks is coming back in August, and I wrote a banger. Hey, the old Zeus wrote a banger. How about that?
That's nice.
That you could get on NFL.com/Hansis. Taking a look at some of the teams that are Hard Knocks eligible, a.k.a. they can't stop the NFL if they pick them. It's It's usually how they end up picking the team, which is kind of funny when you think about it. And we'll go through the best options for the 14th season of Hard Knocks. If we have time, we're going to hit the mailbag. But first, let us do some news.
Is that you and Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Who's the old lady?
That's my old lady.
A lot of old lady buzz off the Wednesday podcast.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of controversy. I maintain that the old lady is the mother.
Despite all evidence and definitions and reader response.
Not exclusively the mother.
Mother or wife. It could be used interchangeably. Some people say no. It is only in reference to your wife. But it is important to know that you never call your wife the old lady to her face.
No. Not in front of her.
This is more something that happens at the tavern.
It also happens in...
I don't do this.
It also happens in 1947, not today.
Right. I do call Keith the old man sometimes.
Yeah, but that is...
Term of endearment.
That is entirely... We've discussed this. A man is not... Does not... An older man who's your father does not care about being called old. Good luck calling your mom old lady. Let's see how far that gets you.
I would never call Deb that.
Agreed.
Would you call your mother that?
The whole thing began because I was appalled by the idea that was even a thing to you.
All right, let's start the news. It's not a thing to me. It's a thing.
No, it's a thing to you.
NFL Network's Mike Garafolo, friend of the show. We've had him on here. He's a good guy. Jersey guy. He's a real dude. He reports that Nick Foles and the Jaguars have, quote, mutual interest. And Wes... This is not a surprise, and this is the first time we're seeing it out there as a report that this is two sides are interested in each other. Why wouldn't they be? The Jaguars, they need a quarterback. The Blake Bortles experiment did not work. Nick Foles wants a steady starting job and getting paid like a star quarterback. It feels like a perfect fit. What could get in the way?
Maybe another team interest, but
the Eagles, maybe they can mess this up.
I would feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars have to be the heavy favorites here, and you know maybe Nick Foles ends up overpaid, but wouldn't you rather overpay Nick Foles than Blake Bortles? This team, the defense is ready to win now. Don't waste your window. Go get a quarterback.
Yeah, when you're trying to come up with where he could go, and if the Eagles are really going to tag and trade Nick Foles, first of all, is complicated. Pro Football Talk's really been, you know, sounding this alarm that that's illegal, that that goes against what the whole point of the tag is supposed to be.
Didn't the Patriots do that with Matt Castle?
It's written in there, and what it says, yes, and yes. So there's some vagary with how the laws applied or the rules applied, but it says you need to only have him on your roster if you have a real intent to keep him on your roster. Period. So if they have to sign, like he refuses to sign until the minute when they actually have a trade, I don't know. It's just confusing. My point is, I don't know if they do trade him. Where are they going to trade him? They don't want to trade him to the Redskins or the Giants. Where else is there? It's the Dolphins is kind of the one other team to me that could make some sense.
Well, and people writing for around that team say that Miami's not going after Nick Foles or anyone like. It's a very weird year because every other year we've done this show and hit free agency, there are a fleet of teams looking for quarterbacks. It's just not the case.
I've heard some talk that don't assume the Jaguars are going to get him just because of DeFilippo. I'm not really sure why, but maybe they're just kind of putting that out there to keep his value low.
In other news, the Cincinnati Bengals still looking for a defensive coordinator. Todd Grantham?
Grantham, I believe.
Grantham, thank you. Todd Grantham, he's decided to remain at Florida as their D.C., he was offered a multi-million dollar deal to become the Cincinnati DC, but he decided to stay in college. And Grantham does have a lot of NFL history, including with your Brownies, Mark, about a decade ago. However, he's staying in school staying at school. And Wes, your former love, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're trying to restart. They're trying to move in a different direction. But it feels like a bit of a slow process right now.
Yeah, and the Bengals then turned their attention to Saints secondary coach Aaron Glenn, and Rap Sheet reported right before we went on air, the Saints are planning to block the Bengals from interviewing Aaron Glenn. I think that Dan Hansis could get the job right now if he really wanted.
I mean, Bucky Brooks, he just took a job.
High school?
A high school job.
He might be the only coach left.
I know he has former playing experience and scouting experience and all that, but he also is an NFL media employee. I feel like we should throw our hats in the ring.
I do wonder.
Feels like a good gig.
Yeah.
What is being said to all these candidates behind closed doors? Because when you've been turned down by Jack Del Rio and Dom Capers and now Todd Grantham, like, you get them into the building for a first and second interview, and then it all goes haywire. What is the discourse there?
Well, the Bengals, you know, have a long history of maybe not having the best reputation around the NFL. That was certainly pre-Marvin Lewis, where it was at its highest, but now Marvin Lewis is not there anymore. And this is the risk kind of having to wait. First of all, of choosing a guy like Zach Taylor, who hasn't really run a team at all or anything close. I mean, this guy was the assistant wide receivers coach in 2017. It wasn't even the main wide receivers coach. It was the assistant wide receivers
assistant
coach.
Assistant to the wide receivers.
Right. So he doesn't have a lot of experience. They had to wait till he was done with the Super Bowl. He was a QB coach with the Rams. He's young, doesn't have a lot of contacts in the league, and I think you're seeing like some of the repercussions of that.
Maybe that's why Mike Brown never made any coaching change for like two decades. He didn't want to deal with all this malarkey.
Because nobody would take the job?
That's just annoying to try to find all these new coaches. Why just keep the same guy?
Malarkey's not a bad idea, actually. Or, I mean, I know he's done mostly offense, but he's been in the league.
Malarkey?
Rex Ryan.
Defense,
of course. That's what he said.
Rex Ryan, I think, would fit.
Ooh! That actually is almost like a match of
why wouldn't he want to do
sides.
That? If it's true that he wanted the Chiefs job, which he did not get, obviously, get back in the door and coach up that D.
Well, I think he'd take it in a second.
I believe Rob Ryan spent some time at the University of Cincinnati coaching.
Interesting.
Tenuous connection there.
Here's a little bit of an interesting it's fine. It's, you know, mid-February. Odell Beckham Jr. signed a huge deal to remain with the Giants last year. But is he going to stay there? The Athletic's Jay Glazer. You know, it's this time of year. Again, mid-February. He had some type of mailbag or something. But he made a bold prediction. And Glazer, for what it's worth, is one of those guys that's very plugged in to the league. He threw it out there that the Giants would trade Odell Beckham this offseason. And because this is 2019, Mark, then everyone immediately checks into Odell's social media, and there were two face emojis, and people put a lot into that. I can't. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know what the two face emojis meant, but people took that to mean he was kind of like, yeah, whatever. Let's party.
I like that, Dan, as our resident mailbag author, you referred to Jay Glazer's mailbag as some sort of mailbag.
There's only one mailbag. That is true. NFL.com/Hanses.
My question would be, because if this is true, you know, if he's hearing anything, number one, it would be a total about-face for Gettleman, who gave him that contract and has insisted over and over, we're not moving Odell Beckham. You have this sort of top-heavy offense based around stars, and if you removed him, your identity is really lacking on that offense in general. But also, who is it out there that Glazer's, you know, in his whispers, who's mentioning the team? What team is it that's going to go after Odell Beckham? I just wonder which one.
You know what's interesting? And I know Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, you could argue, are two of the top three wide receivers in the league, if you want. I wonder if the Giants are tracking this Antonio Brown situation, what type of market he has, and if they would think about it. Because I will say, he's an incredible player, Beckham, but he seems just to be kind of a pain in the ass. And I wonder if the Giants are already kind of – if they've had their full after 4 years.
What are we talking about here, though? He's great. He's a great player. And more importantly, they just signed him to that huge contract. If they got rid of him, they would – here's why. $35 million in dead money to cut him or to trade him.
That's what I'm saying. Though.
I mean,
why,
it's like it
doesn't
financially,
quite make
it would
sense.
It would crush you financially, and you'd be losing one of your best players. So I just mean this year, it just seems crazy. But I think, Dan, you were smart to point out this didn't come from, you know, a random newspaper. Glazer absolutely is saying this for a reason, and
context.
I'm amazed about
there's
it.
There's context here. Jay Glazer is not reporting this. He was asked, give us a bold prediction.
Right.
And that's the one he chose.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He knows 50 billion different little things that he never talks about. I don't think he's throwing that out there in a vacuum. I think he's throwing that out there because he's heard some things that actually this is not totally off the table. You know what I mean?
I wonder if the Giants have a year later – after hemming and hawing a little bit about whether they wanted to give him the big deal, they give him the big money. They go 3-13 or 4-12, whatever it was. he's hurt again. And if you look at his track record now, he's missed a quarter of the season almost every year he's played, except for one now. I wonder if they're like, is this guy worth the trouble? And maybe this year it doesn't make sense.
It's wild. I want to correct myself. Because the financials are different on a trade than a cut, it would be $21 million in dead money on your cap, not 31. But that's still a massive amount to get rid of.
I mean, unless he's a raging headache to a degree that we don't know about behind the scenes, you trade Odell Beckham, you get what, a first-round pick and maybe a little bit more? Good luck drafting anyone in the first round who's as talented as Odell Beckham. It's like you're taking a step back, though.
That's the thing.
It would be like
it's hard
rebuilding.
To find anybody as talented as Odell
but
Beckham.
It's like, why,
but there's
why
more than
do
just
it?
Talent involved with this personality, it seems.
And I can't see them wanting to rebuild. Like, if you did that, it almost seems like you're not trying to win as hard this year, and it's just a strange spot.
Other transactions. A little transaction talk, Greg. Tee up on this. The Niners declined Pierre Garçon's 2019 option, so a wide receiver that maybe a little shine is off the last couple of years, but he enters a wide receiver market that's not too hot. And the Chargers decline Corey Legit's option, so an interior tackle will hit the market as well.
Legit might be a guy that they try to bring back. They're in a weird spot. Their top four defensive tackles are all off the roster. They essentially don't have a defensive tackle position. So that's where you get in trouble in free agency when you suddenly have to replace four guys.
He's coming off a torn quad muscle, which is a pretty major injury.
Yep. And Garçon is one of the initial class that John Lynch signed in free agency. And I think Malcolm Smith is another that's going to get cut over the next week. And that class did not do well overall.
And people saying the Niners should not go after Antonio Brown because of his age combined with where they are in terms of being a contender, not quite yet. They have one wide receiver that caught more than 30 passes last year. Like, they need more weapons on offense. You've got a great tight end in George Kittle, but they are shallow at wide receiver.
For what it's worth, Chargers GM Tom Telesco said the door is open to bring back Jet. So just got to report that. Reporting that. Hey, one other thing, Greg, I thought you'd be interested in this. There was a report out there in the Sports Business Journal, a respected outlet.
Very.
That the NFL is leaning toward having the Bears host the Packers for next season's opening kickoff game on Thursday, September 5th. According to multiple sources, this line lines up with the you're so mad right now. The league's 100th season celebration. This is NFL 100. It's a massive initiative inside our company, and the Bears and Packers are the two oldest teams. They played 198 times, and they would instead have the Pats play. Greg's not even listening. He's searching right now, finding more information. The Pats would then play the Sunday night opener of week one, so close out Sunday of week one.
I like this.
As a Patriots fan, and Ricky, I'd love to hear you on this, does this smack of disrespect that one of the spoils of winning the title is you get to open the season and the Pats might not have that opportunity?
No, not to me, because I think that's it's a little stressful, and they had already reported that it would be the Chiefs, and that the last team I want to, as a Pats fan, see in week one is the Chiefs. Now, maybe it'll still be the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football on Sunday, and then you don't get that little extra couple days off after week one, but it's not a big deal.
I mean, I'm glad to find out that it's because of this historical tie versus the ongoing Aaron Rodgers fetish that nighttime football television seems to have.
Yes, because he really let us down on Sunday night last year in week one. The guy is born to play in prime time.
That opening matchup does not excite me, but that's me personally. I really wanted to see the Patriots on that opening Thursday night.
It's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers against your boy Mitch Trubisky.
I mean, that was it last Sunday. That was it last year when we were in London.
But that's before Trubisky crossed Mark.
When all those guys met in the Hupmobile showroom in 1920. The Bears are the only team left. They were the Decatur Staleys, and they're the only team in the NFL left from that showroom. They deserve to be highlighted in the 100-year anniversary.
Yeah, I'm
what
down.
A nugget
and
West.
The Packers came in the next year after that.
Awesome. Awesome nugget.
I'm down with it. And have, the Bills visit the Patriots Sunday night. Something like that.
Well, the one thing I was going to say is, with the exception of the Cowboys, let me know if I'm wrong, but if my memory serves me, except for the Giants in 2012 against the Cowboys, the defending champ has won 10 years in a row. So it's kind of a gimme on your schedule. It would have been a layup Thursday.
I don't know if the Chiefs would be. I was secretly hoping for Baker Mayfield versus Tom Brady, which, just a little personal fantasy. Instead, I'm getting Mitch Trubisky and Aaron Rodgers.
Are they in Foxborough this year? the Browns.
I'd have to look into that. But they do play each other. I know that.
Maybe is there any chance, this conspiracy, that they're like, I don't know, maybe America's a little sick of the Patriots. Got to take them off. Bad ratings
maybe
for that Super Bowl.
When I saw the headline,
I'm serious.
That's the first thing that went through my head. But then when I read it, it makes sense that they, we know how this league operates.
Yeah.
The NFL Super Bowl 50, that was a huge blowout, year-long celebration. This is the 100th anniversary.
They are going all
I
out
buy in.
For 1-0-0.
And I would guess the Packers-Bears has like the longest consecutive streak of being on Sunday Night Football. Is there a year that they've ever not been on Sunday Night Football? This is just like Al Michaels' home game.
Oh, for sure. That's what's happening in the news. Hey, guys, we talked about it at the top of the show, situation with Greg and what he was able to do. As a dog of journo, I reached out and I actually tracked down the homeless gentleman. Let's hear from him.
This is a message for Greg Rosenbaum. This is the bum sitting on your stoop, and I got a message for you, buddy. You're gonna meet me in the squared circle of death. And by that, I mean behind the 7-Eleven over on Motor Avenue. Not in the front, all right? Behind it. They always call the cops on me when I'm in the front. All right, I'm going to see you there. Maybe you could bring a sandwich or something. Kind of hungry.
Is that Macho Man Randy Savage?
Is there a Macho Man app that you can just...
Well,
you're on his radar, apparently.
Yeah, well, this topic really did – it brought up a real conversation between me and Emeka. Like, you want to have – and you try to have sympathy for the homeless population in Santa Monica, which is significant. Mm. But then you're battling that with, like, you know, you're worried about your own safety and everything else. I think probably – you know, this call could have been an example of maybe having a little more sympathy for the homeless. But
well, I tracked him down, and I gave him a sandwich and gave him a couple bucks. Pat on the head. He said, good luck out there in these streets.
Yeah.
A lot of rain in LA.
How has this turned you into a civic hero? That is beyond absurd.
Just you got to look after your own. We're all in this together, ultimately, Mark.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that theory. That's not what's – that's – yeah. Okay.
You know this is all made up, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Let's get to it. Hard Knocks. All right, so season 14, still a long way away. However, this is the time of year where the folks at the NFL, in conjunction, it's really NFL Films in conjunction with HBO, home box office, the premium cable giant, work together to find a team that they decide they'll be focusing on for 5 weeks during training camp. It is what else needs to be said about Hard Knocks? It's the best TV show about football that's ever been put out. And every year it brings the goods, just like last year, Mark, with your Cleveland Browns, which I would put probably in my top three seasons all time for how it took us behind the scenes of Cleveland and really what we then got to see all play out in life once the season started, the bad blood and the disconnect between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson. That to me is when Hard Knocks is at its best. The Jets season in 2010, when we got to see the Darrell Revis negotiations, like real news that you get to go behind the scenes and see what's going on. So a tough act to follow.
That time that William Hayes, you know, saw the didn't believe the dinosaurs. No. That was another.
No, the Rams season, that was forgettable. They're not every season's a home run. The L.A. Rams season, right before they got good, was probably near the bottom of the barrel, I'd say. So we're hoping for another good season in 2019. So this is how it works. The league, about 6 years ago, came up with a system that if you hit any of three different clauses, you were excused, essentially, from being selected for Hard Knocks. And they are the following. Have a first-year head coach, a playoff berth in the past two seasons, or appeared on Hard Knocks in the past 10 years. There are only five teams that don't get excluded based on those three parameters. So I will now go through them. 5-1 in terms of least attractive to great fit.
All right. Okay?
So here's number five for me, and you guys tell me what you think. The Detroit Lions. Wes chuckles.
They won't even show up on time for training camp.
Doesn't it feel like we're kind of at a weird juncture in history with the Lions where they were in football hell? Before the Browns were known as the absolute pits of the league, the Lions were that a decade ago. They even had 0-16 first, but now they kind of exist in purgatory. They moved up from hell to purgatory. There's just not a lot of, not to be compelling about this group.
Don't want to watch them, don't want to read about them, don't want to write about them. The Lions could not possibly be any more boring.
Yeah, I don't know who else is on this list yet, but I'm not surprised they're at the bottom of it. The only thing that Hard Knocks does well sometimes, though, is take something that you think you know about and flip the script. Maybe we would find out something about the Lions that would be compelling. I think Matt Patricia makes them more compelling on some level, but I feel
sell
like,
it, baby.
No, HBO in general does not.
Did you say Matt Patricia makes them more compelling?
To me, personally.
Yeah, I think he's a more interesting guy than he gives off, but he also
is
a guy.
What's he hiding in his beard today?
Right. What he also gives off a vibe like any Belichick disciple that he would fight hard against doing this.
I think like, so home box office does not typically go out of their way to create
the premium cable
dull subject matter. So this would be not on their number one radar list, I believe.
But remember, Greg, that if you were on this list,
you have to.
But they tried it. They're hoping that they find someone that, you know,
right,
wants to do it, which could even not be on this list, right? It could
sometimes
be another
team. I think the Bucks were an example a few years back.
They just raised their
volunteered
hand.
I know the Jaguars seem to volunteer every year you hear, and they just, they're like blowing up the DMs, and they just don't get a reply ever. It's kind of sad.
They're just like, oh, missed your message. Sorry, we already picked someone.
They get Foles, they might get a...
Yeah, Foles would change
that. They might get a nibble.
I think Cincinnati also volunteered, but I think a lot of times it does come from...
Cincinnati did it twice within a four-year period.
They're available.
That was when they were struggling to get teams.
Four is, for me, the Redskins, and you could throw them at five if you want, Greg. I have a feeling you would based on your comments on our previous show. There is some intrigue here. Jay Gruden's, I remember him from the Cincinnati Hard Knocks season. He was kind of a fun follow. What do they do with Alex Smith and how they play out that whole situation? The Redskins are an option.
I would put them higher only because if they actually did the job they normally do, they're an interesting spot here because they're, I think, at a bottom. I mean, but that means the HBO would never want to pick them. The Redskins wouldn't want to do it. The NFL wouldn't want to showcase it. I think they're a franchise that has some real serious issues, not just Alex Smith, but fans and faith among their fans and tickets and stadiums. Like, they're in a tough spot.
Gruden is the one coach, though, that is on record recently saying he did not mind doing it and he did not find it to be a great distraction. It's not something that you're lobbying for, but he would be open to it.
I would only be in, Wes, if they brought back Rex Grossman and John Beck.
Oh,
the fight for Alex Smith's job.
Did they bring both of them in the same year? And Mike Shanahan said, look, what you guys don't know is John Beck can play.
I mean,
I believe in him, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I put my reputation on these guys that they can play.
Right.
One of my favorite quotes in NFL media history.
I immediately scoffed at that.
Yeah, kind of ended Mike Shanahan's career.
A little bit.
They could have some palace intrigue, too. They just hired a passing defensive coordinator who, you know, they literally had people in the building trying to replace their own defensive coordinator, Greg Minuski, which is kind of an under-the-radar story. Couldn't find someone they liked better, and then they just kept him. They're like, oh, no, you're fine, but we're going to hire some other assistants to maybe take your job.
I like that, pal.
Maybe Rob Ryan will take his job.
Now the top three. I feel like there's a big separation. 49ers. In a similar exercise last year, I thought they were a great pick, and I still think they're a great pick. After what was a really, you want to talk about, they're not at a rock bottom, but they're coming off a deeply disappointing year, and you have a high draft pick, and you got the Jimmy G drama trying to, like, get back on track after blowing out his knee, the Kyle Shanahan angle. He seems to be an interesting, fun guy, and he likes rap, Greg.
I can imagine the whole, like, 7-minute segment about that. Yes.
Yeah. So the Niners, to me, one of the, you know, great NFL franchises of yore, they kind of jump out. I wouldn't mind watching that.
They got Richard Sherman, who is a good,
yes,
good talker. And if they get Antonio Brown, they would have to jump up this list, right?
Yes. I think that's a great call.
I think they'd be a great pick. Kyle Shanahan did say it's a hard, hard, bad stance when they asked him about it. You will see the worst entertainment possible by me. And John Lynch also kind of fought against it. So I don't know. They seem against it. But their owner, and that's kind of the one that matters, seems to me like a guy that would maybe want to do it to help burnish the reputation of the franchise.
Let's stay by the Bay. Number two, I got the Raiders. Wes, I thought you put it really well last week that we're kind of in the dark ages a little bit for the Raiders. And to me, that's nothing if not compelling. How do you dig yourself out? You have John Gruden, who I think Gruden and Hard Knocks are kind of have been meant to get to be together. And this is an opportunity for that. And you have the drama around where they're playing, and you have the internal situation about building the roster, maybe a new quarterback, what's going on with Derek Carr, the relationship between Carr and Gruden, which people have a lot of questions about. I'm in. Mark, you're shaking your head.
I don't need it.
Yeah, counterpoint. This would be too much like the Rams season when they so much was about the move and not having a home, and I just don't care about that.
I think Mike Mayock would be interesting. I'd like to see that. I think with the Raiders, for me, I don't want to give extra attention to a team that's bolting on their hometown fans. I don't need it. I just don't. It's just, to me, the wrong season. The Raiders in general.
That's a good point.
Another year would be interesting. Just not this year.
I was ready to fight against you guys. Are you kidding me? Mark Davis, John Gruden, Mike Mayock, put it all together. Kind of a crazy franchise. This sounds delightful. But Mark Gruden
every Monday for 10 years. I don't need to know any
more
about
him. I would see more. I still like him. I find him fascinating.
An analyst in a booth, this is him in his natural
habitat. But Mark makes a great point about awkward it would be.
I just don't think the NFL would want that also.
This year in particular.
I think you probably.
But it'd be interesting. I'd be all in.
Like Gruden, you might think I think Gruden would be compelling on the show. There's a mix here. I just don't want it this year.
I could see it happening too. It seems like something that could happen.
What I don't have happen, Wes, I think your fears are not misplaced, but I think the danger would be if it was next year. Then they would be all about the whole Vegas angle.
Oh, see, to me, that's interesting. Like, you're going to
But that's
a new
what
city.
The Rams situation was.
No, but there's never been an NFL team in Vegas. Like, okay. To me, that angle is kind of interesting, but I think, like, the year when they have a chance to actually be something, that would be the year to do it, not this year where they're obviously going to be a basement team again.
Number one on my list, and I imagine you might not all agree, but as a native New Yorker who grew up a Jets fan and always looked at the Giants as kind of the big brother and the team that does things right, I would love to see the Giants on Hard Knocks, and I think there's some good interesting players on the roster, and I think the end of the Eli era being behind closed doors to see how that goes, especially if they get a rookie in that building, how does that play out? And in general, the Giants is one of those great original teams of the league. You get the feeling they're almost above reality television, but they really aren't, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be involved in a show
like
this.
Hey, please. I mean, Hard Knocks has won more postseason hardware than the Giants the last 5 or 6 years. Give me a break. Oh. This is a great franchise, Hard Knocks. You should be proud to be a part of them.
Great. Eli, 2-0, bro.
Yeah,
2-0 against the big man.
I mean, he's 0-0 he's 0-1 in the last 6 years.
No. It doesn't help that Giants owner John Mara in 2010 said the team would make an appearance on Hard Knocks, in quotes, when I'm next to my father in the Gates of Heaven Cemetery.
For real?
Really? Yeah, that's a good quote.
That's awesome.
So it doesn't sound like they're overly, you know, excited about the...
Well, it is a great test, too, because the rule is, if you do not clear those three tenants, you will be picked if they want you. But the Maras are royalty. Is this a phony rule or is it a real rule? We would find out if the Giants run.
I don't think it would help Pat Shurmur much. He was on a 5-week Browns reality show, which was a low level thing on like the Travel Channel, and it did not help.
Sounds
it did
like
not,
a horrible show.
It was a long time ago. It did not, for me, help much at all with. Pat Shurmur's reputation, and I don't need 5 weeks of Odell Beckham.
I used to
watch. That is my one issue.
I used to watch every you know, NFL-related show or reality show. I was a big fan of Third and Long by Michael Irvin. I did try watching that travel show. About, like, halfway through the second episode, I was like, wait, this is really all about, like, the guy who's just, like, packing the bags for the plane. Yeah. They just spent 20 minutes on how complicated that is of, like, well, you got to move the bags up to this area, but then it's really tough. Like, if it's a night game, you can't get out of the flight that early. I was like, this is boring. This is – I can't watch this.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. I think you shot down all five options. Think you'll be sitting out Hard Knocks this year?
I agree with you, Dan. The Giants would be number
one.
I would have put the Raiders 2 and the Giants 1 off of that list. So I totally agree. Yep.
These are not one of the five teams I would pick if I could pick anyone at all. But I can warm up to them.
I think they could go off the board.
You don't have to.
I don't.
It's certainly possible that a team like the Jags volunteers or some other team that would be.
Oh, the Jags will volunteer. It's just a matter of if the phone is picked up, and it hasn't been for about 5 years.
Who else could use it? Like, what's an owner that would, like, want it? The Chargers, I think, would want it. I'm not sure if Hard Knocks would totally do it, but I feel like the Chargers.
I'd love to see the Chiefs.
Because that would be a good one. The Chiefs would be great.
Wes, because of the ongoing headlock watch with the New York Jets, people have put together that this would be a good year for the Jets to return, according to Manish Mehta.
Let's get her!
Manish Mehta reports the Jets are not interested at this time, which I'm disappointed about, but I get it.
It is becoming, you know, a trend because of these rules that you just are picking kind of down and out teams. Like, right. It would be great to pick a team that's at the top or close to it.
I can't remember the last time they had a good team on the show.
Like the Cowboys were pretty good.
There was one.
They probably need more coverage.
Wasn't there one very recent year? It was a team kind of like trying to get over
Jets
the top.
Were.
The Viking? No, the Vikings.
Jets were coming off an AFC title game.
The Saints, for instance, like how amazing – to me, the Saints would be like an amazing team to pick going into this year especially would be
Drew
just
Brees.
Really interesting.
I mean, can you imagine? He would probably be – there'd probably be a teleprompter around him at all times if he was on Hard Knocks.
The Bucks is who I was thinking of just because people thought they were going to be good that year, but they weren't coming off.
They were not.
I'd like the Eagles.
Eagles are a good choice. All right, here we go. Before we get out of here, a couple of mailbag questions. I reached out to the people. Which hero hit the Nick Shook going away party hardest in terms of beverages? We're all there at different times, I feel like, but we were all there.
I would guess that I did, but that doesn't include Mark's trip to the bar next door.
Well, the bar next door had a Gordon Ramsay reality show based around it, so I went to watch it. With the owner and stuff.
How'd that
but
go?
It was quite amazing. This is one of my favorite. It's Boardwalk 11,
yes.
Karaoke bar. They were savaged by Gordon Ramsay, but came out on the winning end, I think, in the
That's
conclusion.
Fun. I just so watched
you had
the,
fun. You were like a studio audience. I think Wes wins. I was there. I was there to the very end, past Wes, actually, straight through to the end of the trivia. And Wes and Keisha, especially the Paramore, they were ready to go home.
Well, yeah.
Shook also showed up about an hour after it started.
She said she had been there for 5.5 hours. I mean, that's a long time.
I think she organized it.
That's a long time. Moving on from Malcolm McSweeney. If you could put together any announcer and color guy, any era together to call games, who would they be? I love Romo, and he's emerging as a legend, but give me Summerall and Madden in their primes, and I'm flying.
I'm with you.
Can we have a three-man booth? Summerall, Madden, and Romo?
Yeah. Fun.
That would be my dream team.
Wow, I love that.
I'm surprised Tirico isn't involved.
Trying to think of
who's
the play-by-play guy in my all-time game. I'm going to, like, Tirico and Romo for right now would be an amazing thing to witness.
Under the radar?
No offense to Jim Nantz.
Don Cricky was a great play-by-play man. I thought, personally.
In the 1980s, yes.
Yeah.
Like five years ago when he didn't know any of the players in the NFL.
When he was number one NBC team way back when.
Cricky, good choice. Nance giving away his tie. Does he still do that at March Madness? Because that, I don't know, I still hold that against him. That has nothing to do with the NFL or anything else.
I haven't watched the March Madness.
How about Tirico, Romo, and we bring back Dennis Miller? to
vindicate
his name. Because like that booth would be great. They would have a lot of fun together.
Your revisionist history about Dennis Miller, he wasn't a disaster, but let's not act like he was amazing.
I enjoyed the Dennis Miller era. He made it fun,
I thought.
Agreed.
Yeah, Dennis Miller was incredible. I'll back down.
I'm just Jordan saying, he's Lang. Not going to talk that much, but he'll just pop
yeah,
in.
Baby, cha-cha. Like, are we that crazy about Dennis Miller?
Come yeah, I want 90s Dennis right, Miller, not kind of like here. The guy ranting.
No, I don't,
now.
Need, I don't
no.
need the current version of Dennis
no.
Miller.
How does Mark Sessler, this is from Jordan Lang, how does Mark Sessler think the next Avengers movie will go about restoring the heroes who got snapped?
I've never seen
moment.
An Avengers movie.
Major
not that
moment.
I know of.
They got snapped.
Spoiler.
I like how you were fingered on that one.
They got a bunch of them vanished. If I'm reading some of the reviews, I have no idea. Isn't it all based off of actual, real stories?
They asked you, not us.
Apologies. I have no response.
This is one area where this
trying to save my voice
is out of step with the American populace.
Good.
Last question, and actually this one gave me pause because I actually never thought about it. Everyone always talks about the Belichick-Brady era and kind of like who made who, or if it was truly
AC/DC
a joint effort. And Corey Wilson asks if I could go back to the year 2000, which is when Bill jilted the Jets and went to New England, and also when Tom Brady was drafted, I believe in the sixth round, what was it, like 199 overall? It's not really publicized, but if you could go back to she says that Corey says the year 2000. Everyone says the year 2000. By the way, you just say 2000.
It's from Conan O'Brien, right?
Maybe.
Good editing.
Who would you steal from the Patriots, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? If you could only take one, if you go in the time machine, Wes.
Who are you?
You only can take one.
Who is this? Any team, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
You're right, Chris.
I just hate this question. I'm sorry, Corey. You know, Sheck brought it up last week, and I just find it exhausting.
But you got to answer it, though. Got to take one.
I don't cut them in half and join them back
but
together.
That's murder. That's double murder, my friend.
They're both the greatest to do it, so whatever.
But if you could only have one, who would you take? And you get 20 years.
I enjoy watching Tom Brady, so I'll choose him.
This, like, you have
You're the GM of a team.
Okay. There's like no context in it. Without any context, I think I would take Brady because I think ownership and that everything else going on that I don't know anything about could ruin it for Belichick more than you could ruin it for Brady. So I'd take Brady.
I'm with you.
I think he's a little safer.
Having the all-time greatest quarterback, and I'm sure being with Belichick helped in that regard, but I think Brady was going to be a Hall of Famer either way, no matter where he ended up. I think he's that special. Give me that guy instead of the coach who could get sandbagged with a bad roster.
And I think Belichick probably would have been a Hall of Famer no matter where he ended up with a second chance. It was the odds were it was going to go well. But you're right. I'm taking Brady.
I'm one of the people that liked Belichick when he was in Cleveland, unlike a lot of the media there, and I would take Belichick.
Okay. There you go. And Wes would murder them both. That's what we
Tamposi.
Interesting choice.
Brady.
Not even a hesitation.
Nope.
You want to give an explanation or
nope?
Okay, that's fine. I get why you say the way you say the things that you say out of your mouth. All right, good show, fun show. We will be back. When are we back?
Monday, right?
Okay, I will not be here. So best of luck to you guys.
That's a holiday, right?
Happy President's Day.
I don't know. Why are we coming in? We need to all talk about this, I guess.
Okay.
Why would I be here if it's a holiday?
Well, that's not gotten in the way in the past. But yeah,
it's getting in the way now.
Clearly, we've done some planning.
We'll be back next week, and we'll be back with 2 to 3 shows. And when we do, we'll be breaking down a lot of what's going on in the NFL, and it'll be fun. So get ready for that. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend. This is Dan Hansa signing off.
You can check us out on Spotify too. Remember.
Absolutely.
They're so cool. I just started listening to podcasts on Spotify, and it's way better.
Incredible algorithm Spotify has. So the music end is
Netflix wishes
top-notch.
They had Spotify's
Wes algorithm. Says he only listens to podcasts on Spotify.
So if you want to be involved with the Spotify end of listening to the show, go to their search engine and type in the name of the show, Around the NFL Podcast.
And while we're here,
and right there,
beef up. You want to give us a Valentine's Day belated present or an early President's Day present? because everyone's given great presents for President's Day, leave a comment. You know, just juice it up. I'm going to look at the number right now.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
Yes.
I'm going to look at the number right now, and if it's not, like, up 100 by next Tuesday, I'm going to be disappointed.
More like President's Day.
Nailed it. That's how you go out. That's how you get out of here. Mark could not get out of the studio faster. When this show ends, it will just be a cloud of smoke.
It's going to be like a backpack over the shoulder and out the door.
I just feel like I have a vocal cord like stuck inside my body somewhere.
Hopefully.
I need to get this fixed.
Yeah, I got to get that thing out of there. All right. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm. Feel better, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. The mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till next week!